Yes or no?
Thank you.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are so excited that you are with us today. For anybody who doesn't know me, my name is the Reverend Jacob Nault, and I'm the pastor here, and we're really excited that everybody's with us today. And for those of us who haven't been here before, we do have paper bulletins, but as you look around, most often people just use the screen. So you can pick your order of your chosen order of worship material. Everything you need to know will be on the screen if you don't have a bulletin. and then the other announcement that I have is that Jesus is risen, but the pastor is exhausted. So that means that I will be on vacation next week. I will be enjoying some time with my family, and Jeffrey Dodson, a friend of mine, will be filling the pulpit next week. And if you have any pastoral emergencies, you can call the Reverend Steve Stepp at Church of Peace in Fond du Lac. Does anybody else have any announcements today?
I'm Becky Smith, the Christian Education Coordinator here at UCC, and I'm excited to announce that we have an Easter egg hunt this morning following the surface service. All the eggs are hidden, some not so hidden, in the education wing. All kids and guests are welcome to go back. On the little piano in the fellowship hall, you'll see these blue star bags. Feel free to grab one of those so as they find their eggs, they can put them in their bags and join in on the fun. The second announcement I have is we're excited to share that our UCC Missions Committee, Emmanuel Lutheran, the United Methodist Church, and ourselves are partnering with the food pantry to assemble bags of goods for the families it serves. This is also in conjunction with our Vacation Bible School program to be held on June 20th. We're looking to collect as much as we can from the three churches. There are lists available on the west counter in the fellowship hall if you're interested in helping this worthy cause. Our plan is to collect as much as possible before the 20th. That's June 20th. And cash donations are also appreciated. We'll use the cash donations to purchase items that were short on that list so we can provide for the families in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, so as we prepare to share the peace of Christ with one another, there are many different ways we can do that. We can handshake, we can fist bump, we can hug. And if you are not the type of person that likes to be touched, or if you're maybe sick and don't want to spread any germs, because that's a lot of us this time of year, you can just wave and we won't touch you. So friends, let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Easter blessings be with you. Peace 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 be with you. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Easter.
Good morning. Excuse me, sir.
Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you. Happy Easter. Good morning. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
I think our cactus is going to come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, did it?
Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. We find ourselves here today and we know the story. But what does a fantastical resurrection story have to do with us? The ultimate message is this: no matter how dead you feel inside or how dead your life dreams may feel, God is making a way for you. Friends, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Please join me in the opening prayer. Christ loved us so dearly that he clung to us in this death, and still he holds us close as he rises. We are raised with him to new life. We are new creations. Grant us the grace to receive the new life you offer, to be transformed by your glory, and to serve you in the power of your love as the risen body of Christ for the sake of the world. Amen. The opening hymn is number 288, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Amen. You may be seated.
Come on, big kids, little kids, medium-sized kids. Here comes some more.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Wow. It's good to see all of you. Yes. I got some stuff here with me today that I'm going to share with you. You like that, baby chick? Kind of cute, huh? All right. Well, Easter is an exciting day for our whole church community and all the churches. Yeah, we celebrate new life. Did you know that Easter isn't just one day?
Yeah.
It's here. Easter is here.
Woohoo!
Yes, and it's celebrated for weeks. Although I don't think your moms and dads are going to get you Easter baskets for weeks.
No, probably not.
Probably just today. They want to give you Easter every single year?
I mean day.
You meant day, yes. Oh. Yes, I understand. And it's a great thing to celebrate,
yep,
Jesus rising from the dead every single day. You
Lord,
bet.
Lord,
Easter is celebrated with signs of new life. On Easter, a lot of times we celebrate with an egg. This one has a little smile face on it.
Question?
Okay. Eggs are a new sign of life. What? What?
I saw that.
When an egg hatches, what is born?
When a baby comes out.
Yeah, what do they call baby birds?
Chicks.
Chicks. Yeah. Here's chicks. Would you hold this chick for me? I figured you wouldn't mind holding that chick. We're going to put that chick in the nursery after we're done with today. Sound good? As a toy you guys can play with?
Yeah.
There's little lambs in there, too. Yes. That all those baby animals are born in spring, and so spring is a sign of new life. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Do you guys know the story of Jesus during Holy Week and the Last Supper on Thursday or Maundy Thursday? And then on Friday, he was crucified and hung on a cross to die? You kind of heard that story, right? And after he died, they laid his body in a tomb. And on Easter Sunday, they opened the tomb. The stone was rolled away. And was there anything in the tomb? Anyone in the tomb? Was Jesus' body in the tomb that morning on Easter Sunday?
No.
They found the tomb empty because Jesus had risen. Yeah. And that's why we sing hallelujah. Did you hear the choir this morning? It was beautiful. They were saying hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say it again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Every time you hear the word hallelujah, I want you to smile and think of Jesus and how he died on the cross and rose from the dead to show us that there is eternal life. Okay, Pastor Jacob, would you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me.
Can you fold your hands?
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For Jesus.
For Jesus.
For his life.
For his life.
For his death.
For his death.
And for rising for us.
And for rising for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You can head back. Back by your mom and dad today.
Thank you.
Our first scripture today is from John 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep, so the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Our second scripture is Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
And a tradition in our church finding secular music and sometimes movie clips and integrating them into the theme of the sermon. So today we are using Second Wind by the country singer Maren Morris to do that.
You what?
Well, I'm wondering if the whole thing.
Nobody's saying anything that they can't hear. But it said our internet connection was weak or something. What?
That's not here. But if it was weak, you wouldn't be getting a picture either.
Press escape or double click to exit. I don't like that.
Is there upper right hand side? Is there a thing for mute?
I've got the mute off.
Okay. Well, you can write and ask if there's anybody else.
Thanks to Alana for putting that together.
You're welcome.
I don't know, I think.
My friends, will you join me in prayer?
Somebody heard me.
God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I was a kid, there were some things about Easter that were hard for me to understand. I knew that we would wake up and see what the Easter Bunny had left in our baskets. One of the things that my sister and I didn't understand is why our dad always got a bigger chocolate bunny than the rest of us. Then we would get dressed in clothes that were far fancier than what we normally wore to church, and then we would sing hymns that we thought were kind of boring, and then we would go to our grandma's house and eat lots of food later on, and that was what we understood about Easter as kids. Although, I was a member of the same church since the day I was born up until I came here, and my parents always did an admirable job of trying their best to tell me the Easter story, but as I think about it, there might be a deeper reason why I didn't always understand that story. By the time I started asking serious questions about Easter, I had experienced death enough times to know what that was like. Death was a sad thing because I knew that I would not see those people again, at least not until it was time for me to die and we saw each other in heaven. You know, there was a certain finality to death. And we had to go on living without the people we loved. So the idea that God had done something different and raised Jesus from the dead? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, I knew God could do things that humans couldn't, but given my experience with death, I couldn't even fathom what I was reading and hearing. This is why it's so important to begin the retelling of the Easter story by focusing on the female disciples carrying out their burial rituals. They had been some of the most devoted followers of Jesus for as long as he had been alive. But he had died. And it was so important to them to honor him well. They did so in the only way they knew how. They had no reason to expect a different result. Their pain must have been unbearable. It seemed that the corrupt government had won. Power-hungry leaders had eradicated the biggest rabble-rouser standing in their way. Government censorship was complete. And they, the living ones left behind, would have to suffer the consequences of whatever retaliation their government would cook up for them. Throughout the last several days, there's no doubt that this fear would have been at the forefront of their minds. This is why the angel must be so clear with the grieving women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, for he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, rise again. It was only then that it became more clear to them. They remembered that Jesus had said these things and they had paid attention. They also understood that they had a sacred responsibility to tell the world now, starting with the disciples. Now, Luke's gospel makes it clear that the women have a certain kind of revelation that is not shared with the male disciples. The 11 men who are associated most closely to Jesus aren't the ones who are greeted by the angels and given the news. Jews. No, because they haven't seen it with their own eyes. Luke makes the point of telling his readers that the women's testimony is regarded as nonsense. Nonsense. Now, one explanation of this cannot be ignored. The Bible was kind of sexist at times, and biblical society is pretty sexist. And there are harmful cultural norms of the day that very much still exist today. These stereotypes, this patriarchal leadership structure, was wrong then and it's wrong now. But Luke's writing guides us to the conclusion that we wouldn't have the good news of the resurrection without women preachers. The women who were able and willing to speak the truth, even though they knew that those men would probably dismiss their testimony. We would not have the story of the resurrection if those women didn't muster up the courage to say, "I have seen something I can't explain, but I know what I saw, and I will never be the same." The theologian Joel B. Green points out that there is at the very least one man who is willing to at least investigate. Luke makes the point as a literary transition using two simple words, but Peter. Peter is set apart from the rest of the disciples, maybe due to his guilt of denying that he knew Jesus. He had been perhaps the closest disciple of Jesus, and probably he couldn't forgive himself for what he had done under the pressure just a few days ago. Peter actually does go and run to the tomb to see for himself, and for Green, the fact that Peter even gives credence to the woman's testimony and retraces their steps is worth noting, but it's no use. He comes home with nothing new to share. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, I wonder how many of us would stay behind with the other 10 disciples while Peter went on a fool's errand. And conversely, how many of us would be like Peter, running, desperately trying to retrace the steps of the messengers? Why didn't they all go? Would their response have been different if other men had come back to tell them the news initially? I think many of us might balk at the idea that we would knowingly miss a chance to see our resurrected Christ. We might be like the 12. I'm not going to abandon you, am I, Rabbi? But maybe there's another way of looking at this. If we heard this kind of news now, how could we believe? There are so many situations in our world that seem utterly hopeless. We have seen too many situations where death and destruction and dishonesty and deceit have had the last word. We've been too devastated by the wars across the country or the discrimination of our neighbors to even conceive of the possibility that God might reveal something incredible, something new, something beautiful. That's why part of our worship series writer, Dr. Marcia McPhee, included the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. Mary, Lazarus' sister, bemoans that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' death if he had been there just a few days sooner, and even Jesus himself wept. But we've been shown time and time again that we can believe what Jesus does in the world around him. It's no accident that Easter and Christmas, the two most important moments of the Christian journey, see God revealing something new and revolutionary through Jesus Christ. This is the good news, my friends. In Christ's resurrection, God is showing us that unbelievable things can happen today. God with us, Emmanuel, is with us again, doing something new. Jesus caught his second wind while we thought all was lost. We can take comfort and rejoice because we are a resurrection people. We can believe the unbelievable precisely because God continues working in the world through us and even in spite of us, regardless of our ability to perceive it. God can take situations that we thought produced only despair and make them instead an opportunity to experience the life-giving hope that sprouts up in the least expected places. No matter how disillusioned we may feel by the state of the world, no matter how dead we feel inside, God reminds us that through Jesus Christ, there are always possibilities for new life and new hope. And lest we think that Easter hope is merely an intellectual exercise, Christ has a new call for us. Because we are a resurrection people, we can share the hope we've found through that which is unbelievable. We can be part of the work of Christ, which turns obstacles into opportunities, starvation into sufficiency, and apathy into action. As we move through this first week of the Easter season, I invite you to think about how that resurrection hope was shared with you and how you can embody that hope for somebody else. God's ways are not our ways. God does unbelievable, wonderful, incredible, amazing things because God is still at work within us, among us, around us, through us, in spite of us. May we recognize the ways that God is at work, and may we do our part to further God's will and God's hope for the world. Alleluia and amen. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is number 293, Christ is Risen, Shout Hosanna. Please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so.
All creation is amazed.
Now we come into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. As we think about those people, let's take a moment of silence. Amen. So the way this usually works here is I will offer an intercession, and then I will say, God, in your mercy, and if you like, I invite you to respond, receive our prayer. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. So I've got a number of prayer requests. One from Deb Sauer. She says, thanks for all the prayers for a successful shoulder surgery for Deb and for her continued recovery. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
And Deb also offers a prayer for the family of her dear friend Diane, who passed away unexpectedly on Friday. For Diane's family, God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
And I have a big big joy in my own family. Many of you have known about the situation with my mom. In November, she was her cancer reoccurred, and we've been praying for her ever since. And I can now tell you that no further treatment is necessary because there are now no signs of disease. So. So for my mom, her name is Melanie. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? No? Okay. Then let us be in prayer. God of grace and love, you bring us here to remember unbelievable, amazing, wonderful things. That can happen only because of you. Successful surgeries. No signs of disease. People coming together to do important work in the world. Signs of hope in a scary time. May we continue in this Easter season to be that hope, to be the light of your love which shines through the most desperate and desolate situations. May we be the signs of hope in the midst of sadness. For those who remember Diane with love. For those who are facing food insecurity, poverty, homelessness, and discrimination, and all of its forms. But lest we think that our prayers are for the people over there, for people we don't know, we ask you to empower us to be your hands and feet in the world. We pray all of this in the name of the resurrected Christ who showed us the way and teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC, we give thanks for all gifts, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. There are two ways that you can give your gift if you so choose. Ushers will be coming around with an offering plate, and you may place your gift in there, or you may also give online at uccwapan.net. And scrolling down to the bottom of the website and clicking on the donate button. But however you give, may you do so with joy in your hearts and with the hope of resurrection that can happen through this ministry in this local community and around the world. God of the resurrection, you have shown us over and over how love overcomes fear, how hope can overcome hopelessness. Through these gifts, we bring new life to places we thought only could only bring death. Through you, unbelievable, powerful, and amazing things can happen. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 298, The Day of Resurrection.
Yeah.
Before I offer a benediction, the choir will offer one first. This is Hallelujah. And if you know this, please sing along with us. There is only one word in the entire thing, which is Hallelujah. Before I give my benediction, I just want to invite everybody to join us for coffee and snacks right there in the fellowship hall. Our diaconate committee has prepared a good spread for us, so please join us for that. So receive these words of benediction, my friends. Whatever binds you, whatever locks you up, whatever keeps you from the life for which you were created, can be opened wide. For we believe our stories can be rewritten each and every day. We know that this isn't easy or quick, but let this be a vision of your life unlocked, your life resurrected. And now may you go into this world unlocking new life in all the ways you discover you can for yourself, for others, for the world. And may the God who created you to be raised up, the Christ who showed you what resurrection looks like, and the Spirit who is transforming your life even now, be with you now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and happy Easter!
Thank you.